put down that cheeseburger, hide those fries, ditch the Twinkies. It's time for Hooked on Raw
with author, investigative reporter, activist, and raw food enthusiast, Rio.
Hi, this is Rio, and you're listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. This show is about healthy living, primarily through the raw and living food diet and lifestyle, and other natural approaches to good health. If you're not familiar with the raw food diet, it means eating foods as nature creates them for us, organic, whole, and unheated. This is the diet that every other species on the planet adheres to, except humans and their domesticated animals. We are children of biology, not technology, and it is through understanding our biology that we can fulfill our greatest health potential. So join us as we explore how we can get and stay healthy by getting back to our roots in nature. My co-host is Lee Criso.
Right here on this February day.
Yes, New York City.
And the weather is not too bad outside.
No, it's getting warmer. Except we had a cold
weekend.
What
is it, like 30-something degrees?
That's
getting warmer.
That's warmer than 10 degrees.
That's true.
So we have a great guest today, but we always do. Stay tuned because we have the raw gourmand today, Michael Sirupkin.
That's right.
But
in spite of my problems with the phone lines and the DSL and everything
else. Yes, we had a little delay. But before we bring him on, Lee, do you have any tidbits?
Well, I'm just happy. You know, I've been saying for years, why don't I get any perks? I mean, everybody gets, politicians get perks, you know, stars get perks. And this week I got a perk yesterday.
You've got amnesia because you get plenty of perks.
Yeah, but I mean good perks.
Oh, these are good perks. May I mention a couple of names? Paul Smith.
Yeah.
John Kent.
Well, yeah.
You've got perks, Lee. Come on.
But this is different kind of perks. I mean, you know, when I used to...
Oh, you mean goodies.
Goodies. Right. We got some goodies from the Earth Cafe.
EarthCafeToGo.
Yeah, EarthCafeToGo.com.
EarthCafeToGo.com.
Right. Yeah. And they sent a sample of this, this one pie called...
cheesecake.
Yeah.
No.
It's called... Who's Your Daddy?
Uh-huh.
And I know why they got the name. That was really good. And we were sampling it all. And
they have cheesecakes to go, which they send through the mail. They come beautifully packaged. And some of the types that they have are Rockin' Raspberry, Who's Your Daddy, Cherry Dream, Banana Cream, and it goes on and on.
And I spoke to Craig over there to call him and thank him. And he and his partner, Candy. That's a good name, Candy, to be in the, you know, in the raw pie business.
So that's EarthCafeToGo.com.
Yeah, we thank them very much.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. And wait a second, maybe I can get a perk from a car dealer.
I remember that you did get a perk from a car dealer once.
Yeah, that was a barter.
That was a barter.
Yeah.
That was okay.
When I was in the jingle business.
That was okay. Yes. So you have any other tidbits?
Oh, I don't know. I think I hadn't thought about it today, so I guess I'll give everybody a break and not talk about my usual tidbits, making fun of all the drug commercials on TV that say, and if you have thoughts of suicide,
call
killing
your doctor.
Somebody, right, yeah, call your doctor.
Oh, they don't expand it to killing someone. They just say
no,
suicide.
No, they want to make sure they're not liable for that.
Right. Well, today we have the pleasure of interviewing the raw gourmand, Michael Sirupkin. Michael is a raw food critic, and his intent is to bring raw vegan food to the world. That's a tall order.
The world.
And in the hopes that more restaurants, food product companies, and chefs will incorporate raw vegan foods into their recipes and menus. Welcome to our show, Michael.
Well, thank you, Rio and Lee. How are y'all today?
Oh, we're good. Especially that you're on the other end of the phone.
Yes, we kept losing you before.
Well, I'm glad to say I'm calling from down or talking to you from down in Mississippi, and we're at about 52 degrees today, so we're a little...
Oh, my goodness.
We're jealous.
Well, first, Michael, I'd like to thank you so much for that great review you gave my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, Volume 1, that you did a few months back.
It was an honor to do it. It was really enjoyable watching, and it was it was an easy review to write because I didn't have to stretch anything. It was what it was, and
thank you.
I really enjoyed writing it.
Well, if I had paid somebody to do a review, I could not have gotten a better one, that's for sure.
Careful, Michael might say, well, pay me.
Oh. Well, Michael, let's start at the beginning. Well, not the very beginning, but tell us what your life and health was like before discovering the raw food diet.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start about a year ago at age 50. I normally go in for an annual checkup about once a year, sometimes twice a year. And every time the weight was going up, the health was getting worse. And this last visit, the doctor basically said, I'll give you maybe 5 years to live. My blood sugar was running over 400. My cholesterol was through the roof. I was 315 pounds, and I'm only 5'6", so I was about as round as I was tall.
Wow, I'm only 5'6".
Blood pressure was just astronomical. Back pains, had developed sleep apnea, was having to go on oxygen at night because during a sleep study they found out I wasn't breathing 5 to 10 times a night. It would just stop, and fortunately it would start again. And he just said, you know, you might have 5 years to live. Well, all of a sudden, that just really hit home. And I asked him, I said, well, why would you? I know they've got problems, but I've always had these kind of problems. And he said, it's because you've always been overweight and you're not eating well. He said, face it, Michael, you're fat as a cow. Well, that really, there was something about that expression, fat as a cow. I went home and I said, well, by gosh, if I'm fat as a cow, I'm going to eat like a cow. And what does a cow eat but things that grow? And it was no real revelation. It was nothing I had studied. It was nothing like that. But I said, that's the way I'm going to eat. Let's see how it does. I'll see how I feel after, you know, a few weeks. Well, about a week into it, I had a birthday party to go to. Didn't realize I had been feeling better. Had a birthday party to go to. I had a little bitty piece of cake, about a half a hamburger, and a little scoop of ice cream. And when I say little, I mean very little. And for 3 days, I felt horrible from eating that processed sugar, the white flour, the meat from the cow. And it dawned on me, this is the way I used to feel every day. Just after one short week of eating fruits and vegetables, I was already feeling better.
So
within
so
7 months, I had taken off 103 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And I'm the first to admit it was not through exercise. I'm trying to, but I am not an exerciser. But I had taken off 103 pounds. I was taken off my blood sugar medicine. I was taken off my high blood pressure medicine. I was taken off the sleep apnea equipment. And the doctor's report then was, to be honest, you may live another 50 years.
Well, that's pretty good. Did the doctor show any interest in what you had done?
Well, that's real funny you should ask, because when I first went back to him to get a prescription refilled, he asked me, he'd seen I had lost about 10 pounds, and he said, oh, I see you're sticking to the diet I gave you. And I said, well, to be honest, doctor, I'm not sticking to the diet you gave me. And I told him what I was doing. And his initial reaction is, well, you can't keep eating like that. That's unhealthy. He said, if you want to eat like that, go ahead, but I want you to track everything you eat. And he gave me a website to go to where you can actually put in every food that you eat, and it keeps track of your vitamins and minerals and nutrients and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of 2 weeks, I brought the report into him, and he studied the report, and he said, to be honest, he said, on a daily basis, you may not be getting everything I'd like for you to have. He said, but on a weekly basis, you're getting everything.
Hmm.
He said, if I look at just a whole week, you're getting everything you should have in a week, and then some. He did mention that my protein was a little lower than he normally recommends, but he commented that him and a lot of other doctors are tending to believe that the U.S. recommended daily allowance of protein may be too high, and it may actually be doing more harm than good.
I wonder how many of his patients are getting every day all the vitamins that they need on a standard American diet.
That's what he said. He said none of his patients are doing that. You know, they may get enough of one thing, but they're getting 5 times the sodium that they need or 3 times the fat that they need. He said, you're on what's called an 80-10-10 diet. And, of course, I didn't know what that was. I had no concept. So I went and I started doing some research and I started looking, and all of a sudden I find out there's a whole world of people that eat raw. And I said, this is phenomenal. There's people that do what I've been doing, and they're healthy and they're fit and they're athletes. And I said, this is for me for however many years I've got left on this earth.
But Michael, let me ask you, when you said that, you said something about that you were going to eat like a cow, what did that mean to you? That meant grass? What did that mean to you? I mean, what did you start doing just spontaneously?
What I did was I went back to what in the past we've always called a, quote, diet. I ate vegetables. I would eat a salad with raw carrots and no salad dressing. And, of course, within a day or two, maybe 3 days, it was right back the way it always was with diet. I can't keep doing this. And that was when I started discovering that this was good for me, and I realized I don't need to be on a diet. What I need to do is change my diet. I need to have a healthy lifestyle instead of putting myself on a diet.
Well, Michael,
so when people see me in a restaurant ordering a salad with just oil and vinegar on the side, you know, they look at me, they say, oh, are you on a diet? And I just tell them, no, this is my lifestyle. This isn't a diet.
Right. Michael, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back.
I'm going to eat a carrot, and I'll be here waiting for you.
Okay. You've been listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. My name is Rio. Stay with us. Welcome back. You're listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. My name is Rio, and my co-host is Lee Criso.
Right here.
And today we have the pleasure of interviewing the raw gourmand, Michael Sirupkin. And in the first segment, he was telling us about how his doctor disparagingly told him that he looks like a cow or something like to that effect. And he says, well, if I look like a cow, I'm going to eat like a cow. And he started eating more simply and started getting some results. So continue on with that, Michael.
Well, I discovered that within a short period of time that I could actually walk up a flight of stairs without having to rest halfway up. I realized that I didn't mind parking in the back of the parking lot and walking to the store, where before I'd try to get as close to the front door as I could. My whole demeanor changed. Instead of wanting to sleep 10 hours a night, after about 6 hours, I was up and raring to go. And although I run several businesses that I own, I discovered that I wanted to share this message because I consider it an important message, especially living in Mississippi right now. I mean, a typical meal in Mississippi at night may include a fried pork chop or a fried chicken with some fried eggplant or fried okra. They even do fried butter down here.
Fried butter?
Fried butter, actually fried butter, and then they smear it on their fried cornbread cake. For dessert, you can go to half the restaurants around here and find either fried ice cream, or now they're selling fried Twinkies and fried Snickers, and they don't realize what it's doing to them. It was shortly after becoming raw that I discovered that Mississippi was ranked as the most obese state in the United States.
Mm.
And I was determined at that point that I was not going to be part of that statistic. I wasn't going to be part of the problem. I was going to be part of the cure. And if that was simply by sharing this, then that's what I would be doing. And as a person that loved to eat, I always considered myself a gourmand, because a gourmand loves to eat and drink good food. Well, I discovered I could still
sometimes
be a gourmand.
To excess.
Exactly.
I was looking it up in the dictionary today to see all the definitions.
And I finally realized that I could actually eat to excess. I could eat as much as I wanted of the right things, and it wasn't unhealthy for me.
Right, because you could still lose weight. This is what is so amazing to people, is that you can get your fill. You can, because in the beginning, I mean, you will taper off, Michael. I don't know if you're at that point yet, but you will taper off. But at the beginning, people are hungry, and I believe that they're hungry because they just haven't had this full nutrition. So their cells of their body are saying, give me more, give me more, give me more.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And it's sad that we put our bodies in that condition without even knowing it. And we think the cure for it is to get an extra cheeseburger at the McDonald's or to go to the Burger King and get another double Whopper to cure that hunger. We don't realize that the hunger is not coming from the stomach. It's actually coming from the cells in our brain.
Right. Were your parents overweight?
My mother is now. When I was a child, she wasn't. She is now into the morbidly obese category.
Wow.
My father has always fought with weight problems, and neither one of them eats properly.
Have you been able to make any kind of impact on them?
Not
when
at all.
When they see what you...
Not at all.
No?
Now, I do have three sisters, two of which have fought obesity in their lives. They are all three strictly vegetarians. Two of them consider themselves vegans, and one of those two, I've gotten her to about 60 to 65% raw. So I'm real proud of the progress she's made. She's lost about 55 pounds. So
wow.
she's very pleased, and she feels a lot better at age, I guess she's 49 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just being vegetarian, I mean, if you, you know, you can eat pasta, and you're eating rice, and you're eating all these things, so it's very easy to put on weight even as a vegetarian.
Absolutely, and that's why, and her and I had that conversation, because she said, I'm strictly vegetarian, I'm not losing any weight. And we talked about the breads, the pastas, you know, things like that, that she didn't realize. She knew it had calories. She knew it had empty calories. But we had to discuss the reason her body couldn't process it properly and couldn't get rid of it quick enough for her. And she started supplementing more raw into her diet, and it made the difference.
That's wonderful. Well, at least you've introduced the concept to your family, and they can see your progress and your sisters, and they can make their own choices at some point.
Well, and a lot of them are frustrated by watching my progress, because people that see me today who knew me a year ago, and my website's got a picture of the drastic change, they can't believe that I'm older today than I was in the older pictures. They say I look 10 years younger now, which, of course, makes me feel good.
Of course. So what is your goal, Michael?
My goal, I've got about 50 more pounds that I would like to lose. There have been some changes in my life as far as my living situation, which has caused things to be a little more difficult. But now after 2 months, I'm starting to get back into the routine of making sure that I only eat what I know I should be eating instead of just noshing on other things. And once that gets established, I can start losing the weight again. And there's no time frame on that. If it takes me a year, if it takes me 2 years.
Right.
You know, I plan on losing the extra 50 pounds I've got to lose, and will be thin and trim for the older years of my life.
Michael, we all have fallbacks. I mean, things happen in our life. Lee and I, you know, we went through 9/11 here because we're only 10 blocks north of that. We saw that whole thing from our window, and we were eating a lot of popcorn.
Exactly.
Because we had to keep our mouths going, you know. So sometimes we have fallbacks, but as long as we know the information and jump right back on what we know we should be doing, that's fine. Everything isn't just perfect, you know. It's
exactly.
Not just a straight road to the top. So we go a little bit forward, sometimes we fall back, and we just keep going.
Look, you can be on raw foods and eat the wrong foods, too. I mean, you know, some people think that they're doing raw by eating 80% chocolate and goji berries, and that's... You know, that's not going to make you healthy either.
Well, you know, I discovered about 6 months into it that I actually went about 2 or 3 weeks in a row where I gained weight. And, of course, that was a shock to me. I wasn't expecting that. But when I went back and really charted what I had eaten for those last couple weeks, I realized I was very heavy into the high-fat nuts and that type of thing. And because I was using the nuts to process into something, I didn't think about the added calories. And I had to remind myself that even though this is also my lifestyle, that I am still having to diet, and I am still having to lose some weight so I can get to a weight. I'm convinced the body wants to stabilize at a proper weight. You've just got to help the body out.
Now, you said, Michael, that your lifestyle recently has changed a little bit. Tell us about that. I think you have some addition to your family.
Lord, yes. After 50, almost 51 years of being single, a neighbor had two sons. They're twin boys, 16 years old, and they were in a bad living situation, where they were living, how they were living, the economic situation. And I was in a position where I felt like I could help them. So the twins moved in with me, and it was a change. All
instant
of a sudden,
family.
They're not raw. They love vegetables. They're both fit and trim, both in the junior ROTC in school and looking forward to a military career. So I don't have to worry about what they eat as much, and they like eating their salads, but I'm still having to cook for them. And there's always that picking. Even though I'm staying 100% vegetarian, I break it every once in a while with a little cheese if I'm preparing a dish for them, or I may eat a piece of bread that they're eating that I've, like a biscuit in the morning or something. And those are the kind of things I'm having to recondition myself. And fortunately, they're behind me 100%, even though they're not raw themselves and they're not vegans or even vegetarians themselves. They stay on my case. They're good about that, so I'm real proud of them and what they've done.
That's
and
wonderful.
They're going to help me reach my goal.
And Michael, since they're older, they can maybe start making their own food, and that way that won't give you that temptation. Because they're 17 now, right?
We've unfortunately got Hot Pockets down, and that's about it.
Oh, maybe a few classes are in order.
I think they might be.
Yeah, that might be. That might be the thing to do.
You want to come to Mississippi and teach some classes? Come on.
What kind of things do they like?
Anything dealing with the military. They are so into
I mean in food.
Oh, in foods? Oh, my Lord. Spaghetti and just about anything with pasta, anything Italian.
Anything to make you fat.
Well, I took them out. We've got a Japanese steakhouse here where I occasionally will have them make me some sushi. And one of them, this was for their 17th birthday party, ordered the largest steak on the menu. I don't think I've ever even seen a steak.
What was that, a two-pounder or something?
Something like that. And he thoroughly enjoyed it. So they do love their meat. But fortunately, they always eat a salad with it.
Well,
that's
good.
They served a salad with it, and as full as I know he was going to get off the steak, he made sure he ate a salad.
That's
good.
So I was
at least
proud
of that. They're getting a well-balanced diet, even if it's not what I'd prefer them eating all the time.
Well, it sounds like you're into a loving relationship with these two boys. They're lucky to have you, and you'll work all the logistics out.
Exactly, and you can call them once a week and remind them of that.
Okay. I will.
Michael, so you say it's been about a year now that you've been on Raw?
Actually, I'm at about 15 months right now.
15 months. Well, that's good. Do you find that losing the weight has just affected other things in your life?
Oh, the energy factor is, matter of fact, my employees at my companies wish that I had have never lost the weight, because where I would come in and just plop down in a chair and wait for them to come with me, well, now I bounce from office to office, and I've got that energy, that zeal. I've got a zest for life now, and where before I could have walked away and said, you know what, I'm just going to live off my retirement and sit in a recliner and watch soap operas the rest of my life. Well, now that's not even a consideration. I've got traveling. I've got things I want to do, and that requires money. This is an honest world. You require money to do that, which means I've got to work for some more years. And so I'm getting into the companies more. I'm working with my salesmen more. I'm becoming more active, even with my own company, to the point where I'm driving employees crazy.
We're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back for two more segments with Michael Sirupkin, the Raw Gourmand. Welcome back. You're listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. My name is Rio, and my co-host is Lee Criso.
Right here at the controls. Making too many mistakes today.
And today we have the pleasure of interviewing the Raw Gourmand, Michael Sirupkin. And in the last segment, he was telling us about how he's lost over 100 pounds just eating raw, eating until he's full. He doesn't have to be on any kind of diet. Just make the food raw or mostly raw, and the weight starts falling off. And I think that people don't really understand how this can work, because we're so indoctrinated to believe in calories. Michael?
I am here. And you're absolutely right about that. People would see me eat when I first went raw, and to be honest, I would have a huge salad, because I felt like I had to eat till I was full, because this was a big change for me. I felt like I was missing something at first. And I would have a huge salad that was probably three or four times a salad that I would eat before. I would eat a whole bag of nuts or seeds, three or four pieces of fruit during my lunch. And my employees would just stand there, down south we call it, with the spotlighted deer look.
We call it the Thule stare.
What are you doing? And every week when I'd come in with a progress report of 3 pounds, 4 pounds, some weeks 5 pounds of weight loss. They're like, this is impossible. You can't be losing that much weight. And I explained to them about the body striving to get to a level that it needs to be at for you to be healthy. And I'm a firm believer that if you're overweight, a raw diet will reduce your weight. If you're underweight, a raw diet will increase your weight because your body wants to get to that perfect point to where you are perfectly healthy.
Michael, in your area in Mississippi, as you were saying, you know, it has a reputation for really not being too swift as far as diet. Are there any raw restaurants or any places where you can get support out there?
I fight on a daily basis everywhere that I go to get a raw meal. Normally that means if I go to a restaurant, I order a salad. Fortunately, being in a small town, the town I live in is only 2,200 people. The two restaurants here in town know me, and they know not to throw cheese on my salad. They know not to give me dressing, but to give me oil and vinegar on the side. One of them, which is a new restaurant that just opened up, the couple is from New York, and they're used to that style of restaurant. They're used to catering to their people. So they cut up fresh zucchini and fresh squash and arugula and spinach and throw it in a bowl and stir it up and usually charge me next to nothing for it because I bring other people in with me. But they've got oil and vinegar set off to the side for me that they bring to my table automatically. And I think a lot of it is educating the restaurants. I spent New Year's in New Orleans with the boys, and that was difficult because the restaurants in New Orleans, if you say raw, they think raw oysters. That's the only thing they know.
Right.
Every place I went, I had to struggle to find something that I could eat.
But I see that one of the reviews that you did was from a restaurant in New Orleans,
exactly.
The Checkered Parrot. So tell us about how that worked out.
I went in. I gave them one of my business cards. I do not do reviews of any place without telling them who I am. My mission as a raw food critic is not to criticize places, products, chefs, but it's to introduce the raw food world to places that they can go and eat and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't go in looking for bad. If it's bad, I don't publish the review. So I went in, I gave him my card, I said, can I talk to the chef? The chef came out, I explained to him what I do and what I do not eat, and he said, I don't know what I'm going to charge you yet, but let me go in the kitchen and be creative. I have discovered that most chefs in those type of restaurants have a set menu they go by, and it's really sort of boring for them. And to have the challenge of doing something for me was that much better for him. He fixed me the most beautiful salad. It probably had, I don't even remember the review now, it had either 6 or 7 vegetables in it and probably 4 or 5 fruits in it, and it was huge, and it was more food than I could really eat.
We had a funny experience in New Orleans. We were there, and we were looking for a place where we could get something raw. I think the place was called Rocco's. So we came in there, and it was like a Seinfeld episode. We sat down at the table, and about the only thing that we could really order was a Caesar salad.
Oh.
So the waiter comes over, and there were 3 of us, and we ordered 8 Caesar. We asked him how big it was, you know, and they were kind of like, from what he showed us, they were small Caesar salads. We said, we'll have 8 Caesar salads. And, you know, it was funny. He almost fainted. And it was like a Seinfeld episode because we actually waited forever for them, too. It was.
But they did do it with the old-fashioned recipe.
Yeah.
Good.
Because usually, unfortunately, nowadays, when you order a Caesar salad in a restaurant, it's got mayonnaise in it. But the old-fashioned recipe is really just oil, raw egg, and everyone's so up in arms about raw eggs now. It's just craziness going on. But they did do the original recipe for us, and that's all we had there. It was crazy.
Well, for those people that read my reviews on the website, they discover that probably half of the reviews that I write, somewhere in it I make the comment about you've got to open your mouth. The old expression, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. You've got to stand up and open your mouth and tell them what you will and what you will not eat. And if they refuse to fix it for you that way, well, it's not the kind of restaurant you want to be dining in anyway.
Right.
There'll be a review coming up. I've just about got it finished. My editor is looking at it now. That'll be up on my website from a Carnival cruise that I took. And, of course, I was in a panic because it's all-you-can-eat buffet. everybody goes on a cruise and gains 5 to 7 pounds. And I was expecting that. That's what I was expecting. But I said, I'm going to try my best. Well, I spent the 5 days on the ship. I was 100% raw the entire 5 days. They fixed me the most beautiful salads. The first night, they were confused. They didn't know what to do. But the head chef came over, and the maitre d' came over, and we discussed it. And the comment was, well, that's easy. We can do that for you. And they had a chance to be creative and decorative and make me these beautiful plates. They served me a fruit plate every night for dessert, and it always had 5 or 6 kinds of fruit on it. So it can be done, and it can be done in the most strange situations. I have since been to a wedding that was 100% raw. I've been to a bar mitzvah that was 100% raw, and I would have never guessed that was possible, and they were wonderful.
This is the new world coming up, huh?
Exactly.
Well, it was funny.
Exactly.
We were invited to a wedding, and we had asked, what kind of food they're going to serve, and obviously we knew we weren't going to get anything no matter what. We figured we might get some kind of a salad, so we brought our own food. We brought our own, entrees and just put it on the table with the people we were at, and we said, you're welcome to partake of it. And everybody had a really good time, and people from other tables were coming over and saying, well, what's this?
Well, I think people forget that you go to a wedding for the wedding. You go to a bar mitzvah for the bar mitzvah boy.
Right.
You're not going to those things as a meal experience. You should be going to enjoy the event, not the food that's being served. And if it happens to be food that you enjoy, then so much the better.
But in this country, and maybe it's worldwide, we do gather around and celebrate events, and food is a part of it.
You're exactly right.
So we just need to make the raw food more a part of what is available. And I believe this is what you're trying to do. You're trying to bring the reviews of the different places around to more mainstream people.
And, I think your video really set me on a new course the first time I looked through it, even before I was doing the review on it, because it pointed out the fact that raw doesn't necessarily have to be super fancy. People seem to think that they've got to prepare these very fancy nut-based dishes or seed-based dishes that have 15 steps to fix it. And you pointed out in your video that some things that you do are very simplistic, even if it's just cutting a piece of fruit and serving it. There are things that you can do that you can prepare quickly and easily without going through a lot of trouble.
Exactly. Lee and I, most of the week we do very simple stuff, and sometimes when we have extra time on the weekend, we'll do something more special.
But one of the things, I had a major problem getting into raw foods because at that time there weren't, the hundreds of books that that's out there now. And when you talk to somebody, Rio would drag me to these lectures and somebody, they'd be talking about the benefits of raw foods, and I'd say, yeah, this sounds great. And then after the lecture, I go up to them and say, what do you eat? What do you make for dinner? And then they'd say, well, I throw a few things in the blender, and that's dinner. And I said, well, no way for me, So what really helped me was the opportunity to have foods that were really delicious and tasty and yet be raw and nutritious. But and I never thought really it would happen, but along the way, it got to a point where I still don't just throw a few things in the blender for, except once in a while, but hey, I can make a big salad and I can be happy with it.
Or what about energy soup?
Or there are soups that I make that are energy soups and really very tasty and
but
delicious.
I do want to point out with you particularly, Lee, you were hypoglycemic when
That's
I met
true.
You. That's true. And so you needed to have food every time you turned around. I got to the point where I would not leave the house with you unless you had like an apple and a banana or something with you.
Or nuts. That was actually even when I was a vegetarian. And at that point, I was more of a lacto-vegetarian. I did eat cheese too. But
with the raw food, that has completely
point,
cleared up.
Yeah, I'm okay. I can miss lunch and not be as grouchy as I would used to be.
Oh my gosh, you were so grouchy. If he didn't have that fruit with him when we were out, oh my goodness. And then he would have what I would perceive as tentacles that would come out and attack me. And I would know before, even before he'd start being a grouch, that was going to happen.
You know, after watching your video the first time, I had to run in the kitchen and prepare the bagels with cream cheese.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I had to do it right away because that's what I grew up on, and was so excited. But I realized this isn't something that I'm going to do 7 days a week.
Well, we'll have to tell you the bagel story, how that came about next segment.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. One more segment with the Raw Gourmand, Michael Sirupkin. And by the way, let me give you his website, rawcritic.info. That's rawcritic.info. And his phone number is 323-I-EAT-RAW. Stay with us. You're listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. Welcome back. You're listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. My name is Rio. My co-host is Lee Criso. And today we have the pleasure of interviewing the Raw Gourmand, Michael Sirupkin. And his concept is to go around and review restaurants. They could be raw restaurants. It could be a regular restaurant. It could be somebody that has a book or a DVD. So I invite people that have interesting products, raw products or restaurants, or at least want to get into that. Let's say they have a restaurant and they want to introduce some raw food. Maybe they should be talking to the Raw Critic. And his website is rawcritic.info. That's rawcritic.info. And his phone number is 323-I-EAT-RAW. So, Michael, do you foresee that with your two new sons, you've only had them a couple of months?
About 3 months now.
About 3 months. Do you foresee that you think that they could get more into this? You said they support you.
I think my answer to that's probably maybe not a direct answer, but I've noticed that there are a lot of products that I get in either for review or that I prepare myself that I share with them because they see me eating it and they're like, well, let me try that spread or let me try that cracker or that cookie. And the response I normally get is, well, that's pretty good, but I don't think it's as good as a Little Debbie.
Uh-huh.
So I think by introducing them to them, they know the product is out there, and especially as they start getting older, as we all did, and they start spreading out a little, or as they get into the military and they have to stay fit and in good shape, I think they'll catch themselves making wiser choices and having them introduce them to the raw world. I think a lot of their wiser choices will be in the raw products as opposed to the processed products that they eat now.
Interesting. What do you foresee your company, the Raw Gourmand, what do you foresee that becoming in the future? Is that going to be one of your companies that make money, or are you just going to keep it as a side thing that you do, as a beneficial thing that you do for people?
Right now, it is 100% free. I review products. I have never charged anyone. As a sideline to the Raw Gourmand, I have started going to several churches, several civic organizations that want someone to speak on behalf of people that are overweight. From the churches, I speak with the biblical standpoint of eating raw, as the early people of the Bible did. With the civic organizations, I discuss the health benefits of eating raw. And I mean, my case is a perfect example. Everybody says, well, it's expensive the way you eat. And I have to point out to them that maybe I spend an extra $100 a month on groceries, but I'm saving with $300 a month in pills that I don't buy, plus the possible health benefits that I won't have to experience, the hospital stays or things like that in the future.
Another thing is they're really not saving. You're really not spending more because if you look at the weight of a package of Fritos or Twinkies or these other junk products, I mean, it's all empty garbage.
And they charge by the ounce, so you could be paying a few dollars for like 8 ounces of something or 4 ounces of something.
I spoke at a church about 2 weeks ago, and I actually brought in one of my receipts from a trip to the grocery store. And seriously, the receipt was probably 4.5 feet long. And the people, of course, just gasped when they saw how long the receipt was. And I think the total bill was like $130.
Right.
But like I told them, if you shop wisely, and shop in season a lot of times. Fresh fruits and fresh vegetables are really cheap. I, unfortunately, am not in a county where we have a farmer's market, but several of the places around here do have a farmer's market, and you can shop even cheaper by doing things like that. And that's my goal, is to share this with these people and to explain, because you think you're poor or because you get food stamps doesn't mean you have to spend that money on processed and packaged foods.
And, Michael, a lot of these people have backyards, front yards, right? They could grow some of their own stuff.
They absolutely could. In Mississippi, we've got an advantage over people in other parts of the country where property is a lot cheaper. You know, we've got a lot of people that live on an acre of land that is not that expensive for them, and you can only use so much of it for the house and the dogs and the kids. So, sure, there's plenty of room. If nothing else, grow a row of tomatoes. Plant you some lettuce or some cucumbers, and that's almost free food for you.
Or plant some fruit and nut trees, and those don't take any work at all. They come into fruit maybe 3 to 5 years after you plant them, and they take care of themselves, essentially.
Plus, in Mississippi, you have a longer growing season. I mean, not like New York, where it's 2 minutes.
Exactly. But what I think has happened to the world, and it's our job with broadcasts like this and what I do on my website, it's our job to convince people that we have to be looking at 3 and 5 and 20 years down the road. We've become such an instant society. Drive through the fast food restaurant, drive through, and buy the packaged food that I can cook for 3 minutes in the microwave. We don't think about planting a tree that's not going to be fruit for another 5 years. We don't think about that anymore.
And some of those, like, for example, berry bushes, they come in to fruit even, like, you'll buy them, you can buy two-year-old plants, and in 1 year you can have fruit.
And we that's what we've got to convince these people that they can do. You're absolutely right.
Now, do you live in where you have a little land, Michael?
I do have a little land. Right now the dog is using it. I fenced in part of it and planted some stuff last year, and the dog ate it. So he's eating healthy, if nothing else.
Right.
So next growing season, when we come around to the spring, I think I want to try something else and petition it off a little better so he can't get to it.
Right.
Say, Michael, we're, at your business, though, are the people overweight at your business, a lot of the people?
Every one of them.
Uh-huh. Have you had any influence on them at this point?
You know, I think my honest answer would be no, although I know it has, because it's a daily or a weekly thing, them asking me how I'm doing, what am I eating, what did I eat last night. And I have to believe if there wasn't some interest that they wouldn't be asking
all
the questions.
True.
So I think in the long run there is an influence there, even if I don't see the results.
So they're at the curious stage.
Exactly.
Out of curiosity, what type of business do you have?
For the most part, construction.
Okay. Mm. Well, that's an exercise business where at least the I don't know about the indoor people who are working there, but I guess the outdoor people they're lifting things and building things.
Well, and I've explained to them when they're on a job site how easy it is to grab a bag of fruit. It gives you that sugar rush that you want to do the job, but it's a natural sugar rush, and it lasts longer than a Snickers bar would.
Right, that's very true. Any points, Michael, that we didn't cover because we're closing in here?
Good deal. I do have some reviews coming up, and without spoiling it for anyone, be sure to check the website. The review from the cruise will be going on there. I've got a chef who has sent me a couple of products, one being a wonderful knife that he uses for preparation, a ceramic knife. Matter of fact, I may have to send it to Rhea when I'm through with it so she can use it. I know how she is with her knife.
Yes. Oh, and I'm going to hide it.
People will try to open a coconut with it and break the tip.
Yes, some people do that, don't they?
Are you
so people? I've got those reviews coming up, and then I've got a wonderful review by a terrific chef that's done a cookbook. She has got a cinnamon roll that is absolutely phenomenal. She shipped me 4 of them by FedEx overnight for me to try them. And as soon as I got the cookbook, I had to try them myself because they are absolutely fantastic. Mm. Even for me, so many of the raw foods are not what I call fantastic. They're good. They're acceptable. But there are some things that I get every once in a while, like Rio's bagels, that I just have to say just fantastic.
Do you really like them? Really?
Oh, I loved them.
Oh, thank you.
The reason why Rio made those bagels is because she caught me having a real bagel.
Well, no, my bagels are just as real as any others.
Well, I mean a so-called traditional bagel.
And that's our job to get rid of that word traditional and change it to these being traditional bagels.
Well, exactly. I didn't mean to catch you in that. It was just an accident. It came to me. That's a story for another time, I guess.
Well, I look forward to that story. Yeah.
Michael, because we're closing in here, what's your favorite recipe, one of your favorite raw food recipes?
To be honest, I think my favorite raw food recipe is salad dressings.
Mm.
It has fascinated me that every morning I can take 5 minutes and make fresh salad dressing for a salad that day by using a simple sweet like a natural sugar or a raw sugar, by using an acid, which would be like lemon juice or orange juice, by using an oil, and for me it's almost always olive oil, and a little bit of raw herbs and seasonings, and within 5 minutes I have a different tasting salad dressing every single day. It literally costs me pennies to make, and I look at what people spend for a bottle of salad dressing, and people say, how can you do that every day? And I tell them, for 2 months, I don't spend the money you spend on one bottle of salad dressing.
And it takes like less than 5 minutes. You just throw it all in the blender and it's done. Well, Michael, it's been a pleasure to speak with you today.
The pleasure has been all mine.
And I thank you once again for that great review.
I hope all of your readers go to rawcritic.info and read that review, because it does speak very highly of what you have to sell. And I stand behind it 100%.
Thank you, Michael. And we wish you and your new family the best of everything good for this year
for sure.
And way beyond.
I'll tell them their Aunt Rio and their Uncle Lee said to say hi.
Okay. Take care. You've been listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. My co-host, Lee Criso, thank you.
It's my pleasure as usual.
And to our listeners, thank you for spending this time with us. We really appreciate it. And until the next time, remember, stay in tune with nature, and you'll be in tune with yourself.